Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, my name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I've brought back Shannon Green, or should I say Shannon the Builder Green. He is the exec chair and CEO of Resource Base, I should say. And the ASX code is RBX. Shannon, great to see you, my builder friend. And we haven't spoken for a little while. Today, I want to focus. You've got the Black Range Copper Gold Project. Today, though, I want to focus on Mitre Hill, Mitre Hill, which is your rare earths project in sort of Victoria, South Australia. So welcome back to Small Caps. Let's start the Mitre Hill Project rare earths. Give me a brief overview and then we'll dive in.
Kerry, look, great to be here today. And yeah, it's been a little while. It was actually pre-Christmas the last time.
We spoke
and there's been a lot happened since then. So look, fantastic to be here talking to you today and love the intro.
Well, as I say, so the Mitre Hill Project, rare earths, you really like the rare earth space. Before we dig into this, excuse the pun, what's happening in the rare earth space? Is it going to be something like, I mean, we saw that the nickel price jumped out of control last night. Gold's going up 2,000. It seems like commodities are going to be very stronger for longer. Talk to my community out there about the rare earths market.
Yeah, look, and look, rare earths was one of the earlier ones to run. It's been running with lithium. It's run hard. And, you know, one of the things that I love about rare earths obviously plays a really significant part in the EV car space and also in the decarbonisation of economies, in a broader term. One of the things I love about rare earths and the price run has been it's driven by real supply demand issues. And those issues are largely associated with China. China's one of the biggest producers and suppliers of the suite of rare earths minerals. You know, you hear numbers in the media, you know, quoted around 80% of the supply comes out of China.
Wow.
That's a significant risk to the rest of the world. So the rest of the world has been grappling very, very quickly with how they're going to secure and lock down supply of rare earths. So most governments in very quick succession across the globe started ranking rare earths and some other minerals, but rare earths was certainly up there as a very strategically important mineral to their government, and that rare earths projects would get the attention of governments. Development. So,
I think it's important for our audience to know, those that don't know, that rare earths create the magnets. And without magnets, you're not going to have electric vehicles. You're not going to have, the wind turbines. Lots and lots and lots of reasons why you need magnets. And from what I understand, Shannon, correct me if I'm wrong, the market is in the supply demand. The demand is increasing exponentially as we move into this a green world, I guess.
Absolutely. As that really starts to pick up, obviously the demand need is increasing significantly. And you have this demand risk, in China just getting bigger with that supply. So, globally, the supply chain, is at significant, at a significant deficit, and governments, companies are scrambling to secure rare earths across the globe, and that really sparked our attention and really sparked our close look at Mitre Hill originally as we were looking at whether that was the right transaction for our shareholders. And
right, well, I want to know why Mitre Hill.
Yeah, look, there was a few things. One, obviously, we had the AR3 stated quoted resource out there. So that was proof that there was ionic clay, rare earths of economic scale in the Murray Basin. So that was obviously the first box ticked. The tenements that we pegged regionally, we felt our geological model was pretty strongly indicating that regionally the system of rare earths out there is significantly larger than had really been appreciated in the past. And, you know, I think we were one of the early, you know, movers in terms of really recognising that. And some of the drilling that's happened post that transaction is really starting to lend a lot of weight to that geological model, that this is a significantly larger regional scale than anyone had considered. One of the other things that attracted us, and it was really one of the things that really, really strongly attracted me, is that the ionic clays, in comparison to the hard rocks, have always been considered to be far more sought after because they're a faster development, they're much lower cost, particularly capital cost in terms of processing plant would be significantly less than a hard rock processing
plant. Why is that, Shannon?
Well, hard rock for a start, obviously.
They're gonna blast it.
A lot more, you know, there's a lot more required to extract that, crushing, grinding, and those sort of things. So they're capital intensive, energy intensive processes. But it's also more complex to extract from the hard rocks than it is from the ionics. So plus with the ionic clays, it gives you options to build lower scale concentrate plants and things like that on site and then move to you know more you know processing centers and those sort of things. So you've got more options up your sleeve to really one increase your you know or reduce your development timelines and reduce your capital costs significantly. So that was a real attraction for us. It's in a fantastic jurisdiction, Victoria and South Australia. Australia is a you know highly desirable jurisdiction. One of the only other ionic clay development rare earth developments in progress at the moment is based in Africa.
Is that right? There's not that many ionic clay.
No, predominantly China. Oh. Predominantly China. So there's you know not that many identified world class large scale ionic clay rare earth occurrences around the world. So you know if this proves to be what we truly believe it to be, then this will be somewhat unique across the world and highly sought after.
Highly sought after. All right. So where are you at with it at the moment? What work have you done, Shannon? How big an area of the Murray Basin have you got? You seem very, very confident. So I guess I want to know what have you done, or we want to know what have you done, and what's happening moving forward.
Yeah, look, as I said earlier, you know, we saw ourselves as a bit of a first mover, and we really got off the bat very, very quickly. We no sooner had we settled the Mitre Hill transaction and brought in our first five tenements. We have been searching for other tenements that we believe would be complementary in the region that our geological model strongly indicates could be hosting ionic clay rare earths. We've been doing a lot of that work in the background. We identified a number of tenements that were available that met our criteria, and we just very recently announced pegging those. That takes our land package up to 2,600 square kilometres of potentially mineralised ionic clay rare earths. So it's a significant land package, puts us right up there in terms of size of land packages. But we're not just resting on that. So that was our first step. We pegged all that available ground. We're looking at other, you know, things, other options, et cetera, that, you know, can't really talk about at the moment.
I was about to say, well, I want to know more, but you can't talk about it at the moment.
No, just watch this space. There's certainly things afoot. We don't sit still for a minute. So that's been happening. In parallel to that, our highly talented exploration manager and our project geologist have been doing all the all the things that they need to do behind the scenes in terms of all of the approval processes. You know, some of our viewers may not be aware of how much actually goes into just being able to put a drill rig out on a site and start to drill. There's a significant amount of approvals, landholder agreements. You know, you've got to build relationships with all the landholders and those types of things, and that just doesn't take 5 minutes. So we've been doing all that work in parallel, and we now have a drill rig out on site.
Oh, yay!
We commence drilling, you know, imminently.
Well, that's pretty exciting. So so lots of news. I guess what you've been doing is laying a very strong foundation and getting all that, the boring stuff out of the way, but now could be very transformational for resource base with the drill rig getting out there. So what does that look like going forward? Because I know from talking to you in the past, Shannon, that you treat this like a business and you've got a plan. You're very much about, this is all planned. There's a strategic plan. We're not into wasting shareholder funds. So what I want to know is, treating this like a business, what can people be hoping to hear from you in the near future?
Yeah, look, you're spot on there, Kerry. We run a very, very tight ship. You know, we do a significant amount of things in-house that a lot of juniors probably don't do in-house. You know, tenement management as one example. We do all of our own tenement management, all of our own tenement searching. We put all of the land packages together. We did all of the applications for those recent tenements, 12, 13 tenements. You know, significant body of work to do that. And it's very easy just to outsource that and pay your $30,000, you know, bill at the end of that. We treat our processes better than that, and you know, we're very focused on doing those as maximizing that in-house, minimizes our expenditure. What it also does is increases our own internal IP as well. We know exactly how this business ticks because we're building this business one block at a time. We have a strategic plan. We laid out a strategic plan that's been signed by the board, rolled out to our small team, and we are implementing that plan. So the next step in that plan was the pegging of that available ground that we believe would be geologically, mineralogically attractive in terms of rare earth occurrences out there in the Murray Basin. And then there are steps, you know, beyond that we are now working on, and that's how we operate. In terms of what people can expect, drill start spinning imminently, and you know, we're working with the laboratory to get those results transported to the laboratory as quickly as possible, and through the laboratory as quickly as possible, so that we can start to ascertain what we're seeing in those results. You know, the rare earths, there's a number of minerals in the suite, so you're looking for a number of things, but you're also looking for other markers and other things geologically, so we can continue to build our geological model and build our knowledge of what's happening out there. So we've got a first initial program, some broad drilling just to give us an indication of what we're seeing in that particular area on that tenement, and then we'd start to build out from there as we move forward and as we secure more drill rigs moving forward, which is what we're working on right now. We're trying to get multiple rigs running out there.
Oh wow, multiple rigs. Okay, but Shannon, what I want to understand is I know that you understand the rare earths market, this Murray Basin area. Do you think that no one's been out there before, because rather like gold in the Pilbara, they don't believe that rare earths are out there? I mean, what's going on that it hasn't been looked at?
Well, historically, and as we learned as we went through the Mitre Hill transaction as an example, historically there was a geological thinking the mineralisation was quite constrained out there, and that you wouldn't see it on a more regional scale. So there was a, you know, it's funny, some of the things that become gospel, if you like, you know, and you know, people get welded on to these things. And you know, as I said, we came in and we challenged that. We didn't necessarily agree with it, and since we've did the Mitre Hill transaction, there's been drilling announcements from SAVIC, and from AR3, for examples, both companies, public companies, so meeting all of their disclosure requirements, they have done some regional drilling to really test the regional extents of their tenements. And we've been seeing, you know, up to 20 metres of very economic, up to 2,000 ppm, which is, you know, you would consider very high grade in the context of rare earths, when you look at somewhere around the 5 to 600 being a sort of a lower cutoff. You know, seeing this much broader scale of mineralization than had really been, you know, considered geologically possible not very long ago. Remember, we're not going back very far. It was late last year when we did the Mitre Hill transaction. So a lot's happened in a very, very short period of time. And we just, you know, we have an absolute front row seat in what we believe is building into a globally significant ionic clay rare earth precinct out there.
Wow, that's pretty exciting, actually. But I want to go back, AR3 and SAVIC, are they your neighbours? And I need our audience to understand, with ionic clays, is it like, because the area that you're looking at in the past has been very much a mineral sands area with Iluka and people like that. Is this now turning out to be, I guess, with those guys that are around, is it one great big basin that potentially could hold rare earths? I'm just trying to get a picture for my audience.
Look, in very simple terms, you'll have a regional spread of, you know, say the top 20 metres in large areas that will contain this style of mineralisation. Doesn't mean that it's contiguous over, you know, 200 kilometres, but over a 200 kilometre distance or 100 kilometre distance, you might have 40 kilometres through there that would be of economic mineralization. You know, you'll get outcropping of limestones and things like that, and erosion and all of the events of time that would move some of that way away. Maybe, you know, certain areas might not have had the right pH at the right time for the mineralization to occur. So, you know, the geology is quite complex, and we're at the very early stages. Now, we have our own geological model that we've started with, and that's based on as much historical data that we could find. One of the challenges out there, of course, is because everyone was hunting for mineral sands, they weren't testing for rare earths. So right. There's been quite a bit of drilling out there that never got sampled. So we're actually going back through all of the old data trying to find that. And we're finding it in libraries. We're finding it all over the place. Old borehole data from water bores. Also, it's amazing where you can find data and information from historical times. And we're starting to, you know, really sift through that and pull it apart and build our own geological model. And that helped us really target, you know, as an example, target that tenement package that we've just pegged as one example. It's also guiding us on our decision making moving forward on what we're doing next. And
you've been in this industry for a while. Do you remember back when the Pilbara was all about iron ore and everyone said, you're never going to find gold out there? And now we've got De Grey with Hemi and a number of other deposits out there. Do you liken it, this area, to something similar, like people turning around going, you're not going to find rare earths out there? And actually, there is the potential for, as you said earlier, a world-class projects out there.
I think there was acknowledgement that there was some rare earths out there. And I think the big issue, or the big, you know, the big thing now is that we're saying, well, okay, yeah, there's not just mineralization out there. There is a significant regional occurrence of economic mineralization. And this is very likely to prove up to be a world scale precinct. You know, and that's what's driving us, and that everything that we're doing out there is around that. And you know, we really identified in our strategic plan, ground position was a big part of that. You need to build the scale, and that's what we're doing.
And you said before that ionic versus hard rock, but the ionic clays are only, you know, if this becomes a world-class district, there's only Africa that is another ionic clay. And I think it's important to just point out to people that, again, as you said earlier, ionic clays are easier to process and easier to mine. Is that correct? And that's why this could be potentially world-class as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll just clarify, there's only one ionic clay project that looks like is of development scale in Africa. So one country of Africa, it's in Uganda. And you know, that looks like it's proving to be quite a significant scale. And you know, but outside of China, that's largely it. There's some other sort of smaller ones and so forth, and some that may prove to be, you know, something more significant moving forward. But certainly, when you look at scale, you start talking about 2,500 square kilometers of our existing position and what we can build on with that. You know, there won't be too many things outside of China that could compete with that.
And
And
resource base are well funded to get on and do this and prove this up.
yeah, so as part of our Mitre Hill transaction, we did a small placement, but raised enough money to do the works that we identified that we needed to do. We're very well funded. We've got 3.5 in the bank, and as I said, we're very tight with our money. We run a very tight ship. We run it as a business, because that's what it is. It's in a business to grow shareholder value, and that's what we are absolutely focused on, and that's what we are doing.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, and everybody knows that I like to finish off my little conversations with my beautiful community out there that are always looking for what's going on, what's happening. So I want to know, Shannon, the Builder Green, what are the three reasons why people need to sit up and take notice of what Resource Base are doing right now?
Yeah, look, I mean, we just touched on one of them. We're very well funded, and that's really important. You know, we're not in a position where we need to go and raise funds. We've got the funds we need. We run a very, very tight ship. Business is very oriented on maximizing the spend in the ground, because that's what grows value for our shareholders. So that's the first thing that I'd like to put out there. You know, drilling builds value for companies such as Resource Base. We're just about to start drilling. So, you know, early days, and drill rig about to run, and we're working on getting another rig out there as quickly as we possibly can. So our plan is to have two drill rigs running round the clock, you know, so to speak, out on the ground.
You got one more. You got
And
one more.
really, in the introduction, you talked about we have two projects, and we haven't touched on Black Range today. And Black
True.
Range being our copper gold project, we believe is a significant VMS system. It's very early days there. We love that project. There's a lot happening around that project, and you know, yeah, we're you know, moving forward with that copper gold project. So maybe next time we should
I was
spend a bit
just
more
about to say
time
the same thing
talking
because we've
about
run
that.
out of time this time. But what we'll do is we'll do a brief update on rare earths next time, and we'll focus on Black Range, which is your copper gold project. But for now, Shannon Green, and as I said at the start, ladies and gentlemen, the ASX code is RBX. Go check them out. Could be, this is a big tenement area that they've got out there in the Murray Basin. Rare earths, very important as we go into this electric vehicle revolution and all this green that we're going into. Magnets are going to be critical. Shannon Green, great to see you back on Small Caps. We'll catch up with you very soon.
Fantastic, Kerry. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.